Blog Talk Radio.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm, so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm, and keep our country deep in debt, put men of God in jail, harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn, and your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores, and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep, and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave? Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave? God bless you, and God bless the Republic.
America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill, living in that life of luxury, all we the people still don't have a clue how the other half lives, and that is a shame. It's time to stop the tyranny. You keep pushing through your bills, calling for a revolution. masses try to be his cattle and sheep. Only the people's land. Try and live as a free man. Your body is illegal. Let him home. Time to stop these thugs from stealing what's been got. Clock of a tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we leave them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the global plantation, calling for a revolution. Guns in our hands, calling for a revolution.
Good morning and welcome to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. Here as we begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It is Open Line Friday. The number to join us, 347-324-3704. Again, Open Line Friday. Your calls go right to the front of the line, 347-324-3704. There's some news we're going to cover here while we await the stream of calls that come pouring in on Open Line Friday. First, this continuing story out of Libya. Washington, CBS News, the local CBS affiliate in Byzantium, D.C., is putting out this following story, posted at 9:06 a.m. Today. A Libyan official admitted they will most likely not be able to find the killers behind the deadly attack at the U.S. consulate in Benghazi last week. The title, "We Don't Have Enough Power to Catch U.S. Ambassador's Killers." Interior Ministry spokesman Izzedine Fezzan told CBS News that Libya just doesn't have the power to find the attackers who killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. Quote, "We don't have enough power to catch them," close quote. Benghazi's attorney general also told CBS News that they don't have the expertise or technology to do a proper investigation. The FBI will be handling the investigation. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said Thursday that the attack on the consulate was a form of terrorism. But during an interview with Univision, which we'll cover more in full later, President Obama explained that he still does not know if the deadly attack was terrorism. Quote, "We're still doing an investigation and there will be different circumstances in different countries," Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa told Univision. CBS News has learned that officials are focusing on, get this, Islamist militia Ansar al-Sharia for the attack. Officials, it doesn't say what officials, are those FBI officials or Libyan officials, Ansar al-Sharia for the attack. Also in domestic political news, in what is probably more important to the presidential race than all of these issues that we discussed in detail here on this show, Letterman, the host of Late Night with David Letterman, has had this kind of a running feud now with Flip Flop Romney, which seems to have been started more by Romney than by Letterman. Letterman called Romney delusional. Now, most people get their news, the rank and file average Americans unfortunately get their news from the monologue of the late night show they happen to watch. And so when Letterman does this long bit about, here it is. Now, upon closer examination of the videotape, he, speaking of Romney, goes into this whole thing about how he's been on my show, our show, a few times, been on the Jay Leno show many more than a few times. And after that, he says, Letterman hates me, he says, because I've been on the Jay Leno show more than I've been on his show. Well, that's absolutely, the man is delusional. if he thinks, honest to God, if he thinks I hate him. Let me just draw an analogy, and this is, of course, Letterman speaking. When George W. Bush was president for 8 years, we didn't have to write a single joke. 8 years. We loved George W. Bush. Yet we cut our writing staff down to one or two people. That's all we needed. We loved him. And I said over and over, George W. Bush, I still believe it today, was our cutest president. Cutest president. We are not in the hate business. We are here looking to make friends. Now, Mitt Romney has been on the show many, many times. Let me ask you something, Mitt. If we hated you, why do we keep bringing you on the show or begging you to be on the show? How many times have we had to ask Mitt to be on the show? 100? And then some unidentified woman offstage, probably some producer at, says yes. Letterman, about 100, maybe 200 times. He let me go out on a limb here and say Mitt Romney or his little buddy, the vice president. Who's the little buddy? The same unidentified woman. Paul Ryan. Then Letterman. Gilligan. His little buddy Gilligan. They have an open invitation anytime on short notice. You want to be here tomorrow? Fine. Come tomorrow. You want to be here Monday? Anytime. I don't care. Bring in Paul Ryan. Bring in Mitt Romney. Bring in Mitt and Mrs. Mitt and all the kids. Bring in everybody. We don't hate you, Mitt. We don't hate people. And by the way, if this is based on being on a Leno show more than being on our show, does it make any sense that we would hate a man who has gone through that suffering? Would it make any sense? No. So summing up then, Mitt, get a hold of yourself. We don't hate you. Stop telling people we hate you. This, by the way, I'll bet this is the Tonight Show poisoning Mitt saying, oh, you know, Letterman hates you. So that makes Mitt afraid to come and be on the show. But he's been on the show, was a wonderful guest. We are imploring you. We are beseeching you. Please, Mitt, try and fit us into your itinerary. Thank you very much. That's Letterman on Romney on his program just recently. Now, Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa had one of his more difficult interviews just the other day when he was questioned by Univision. Univision actually asked him somewhat pointed questions about the Fast and Furious operation. The Fast and Furious operation that had your Department of Justice straw purchase firearms using some of the most evil criminals on the planet, the most corrupt people on the planet, the kind of scumbags the gun store owners didn't want to actually sell weapons to. And they asked him about that, and they said, shouldn't you fire Eric Holder for this program? And his response was pure bullshit. He said that the Fast and Furious program was begun under Bush, which is a true statement, although it was called something different. It was called Fast and Furious once Obama's crew got a hold of it. Now, the Bush folks say they started and stopped their program, and there was nothing to simply continue when Obama took office. But the documents have not really been released on all that. And the president says that the program was a continuation of the Bush program, but that it was started by field agents. And his Department of Justice head, had no knowledge of the program until they discovered it, and when they discovered it, they put a stop to it. Now, if you believe that, you'll believe that two planes can knock down three buildings. You'll believe anything. There are lots and lots of documents that have been released, and many more that have been not released, which all point to knowledge by the number two, the couple of number two guys for Eric Holder, intimately involved with the operation, spent hours a day on the Fast and Furious program. It was a psyop to scare and brainwash the American people about guns. Eric Holder's plan, since he worked with the Clinton administration, you'll remember hearing him say, we need to really brainwash the American people about guns, the way people have been brainwashed about smoking cigarettes and standing outside in a little gauntlet, all huddled around ashamed. That's what we should do if you're Eric Holder about guns. Well, he was running this program to brainwash the American people about guns. The program called for these criminals to straw purchase the weapons at the behest of your Department of Justice. The bullshit forms that you have to fill out, the background checks, the unconstitutional nonsense that you go through to buy a .22 caliber rifle. That process would have normally stopped the purchases that took place. But the gun store owners are on the phone with the F Troop, and getting not just permission, but the go-ahead, the instructions to sell the weapon to this person, even though they don't want to do it. And since they want to be cooperative with law enforcement, they sell the weapon. The plan is for those weapons to go down to Mexico to be used in the drug cartels being run by the DEA, and then come back to America and be used in crime. And then, when they're used in crime, the Department of Justice can run in. This is their plan, was their plan, run in and say, look, we found these guns going across the border. We're going to do something about it. We're going to be the heroes that stop these guns going back and forth across the border. We're not going to tell you that we're the ones responsible for having the guns go back and forth across the border. That wouldn't be good politics. That wouldn't make for a good psyop. But we're going to tell you that we're here to save you from these evil ones who are taking guns back and forth across the border to kill Americans. Well, of course, the border agent was killed. Some of these guns were found at the scene. And let's cover Barry's quote here. Quote, well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that the Fast and Furious program was a field-initiated program begun under the previous administration. Total bullshit. When Eric Holder found out about it, he discontinued it. Total bullshit. We assigned an inspector general to do a thorough report that was just issued, confirming that, in fact, Eric Holder did not know about this. Again, total bullshit. That he took prompt action and that the people who did initiate this were held accountable. More bullshit. But what I think is most important is recognizing that we've got a challenge in terms of weapons flowing south. And the strategy that was pursued out of Arizona obviously was completely wrongheaded. That's in reference to the program that was Fast and Furious under the Bush administration. Those folks who were responsible have been held accountable. More bullshit. The question now, because Eric Holder was personally responsible, it was his baby. The question now is, how do we move forward with a strategy that will actually work? We are going to have to work with Mexican law enforcement to accomplish this, but I will tell you that Eric Holder has my complete confidence because he has shown himself to be willing to hold accountable those who took these actions and is passionate about making sure that we're preventing guns from getting into the wrong hands. And then Ramos, the host, follows up in English on Univision and says, and I like this, but if you have nothing to hide, then why are you not releasing papers to the, and then Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa cuts him off and says, the truth is, we've released thousands of papers. And then Ramos interrupts, counters, but not all of them. Obama says, we've released almost all of them. The ones that we don't release typically relate to internal communications that were not related to the actual Fast and Furious operation. The challenge that we have is that at any given moment in the federal government, there may be people who do dumb things. And I've seen it, I promise. There must be mirrors in the White House. Ultimately, I, Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa, am responsible. And my key managers, including the Attorney General, are responsible for holding those people accountable, for making sure that they are fired if they do dumb things, and then fixing the system to ensure that it doesn't happen again. And I'm very confident that you will not see any kinds of actions like this in the future. But what I don't like to see is these kinds of issues becoming political circuses or ways to score political points in Congress, partly because it becomes a distraction from us doing the business that we need to do for the American people. They always throw that line out. These problems you're pointing out about how corrupt and criminal we are gets in the way of us doing the people's business. You should just go back to watching your Fox News and your CNN and listening to what we tell you instead of asking all these crazy questions. It's really getting in the way of us helping to enslave the people and continue to perform psyops on the people to brainwash them about guns and take their constitutionally protected rights. Then through a translator, co-host Maria Elena Salinas followed up, let's have an independent investigation because at the end of the day, this is the Justice Department investigating its boss and is saying they say is not at fault. Why don't we have, very briefly, an independent investigation that is not done by the Justice Department? Now, why does the president have to go on Univision to get direct, pointed, intelligent questions asked of him? His answer, well, understand that not only have we had multiple hearings in Congress, at which time we filibustered, stonewalled, and lied through our fucking teeth, but the Inspector General is put in place specifically to be independent from the Attorney General. This Attorney General's report was not a whitewash in any way. Listen to that. This Attorney General's report was not a whitewash in any way. The President needs more help in framing his arguments. I mean, it was tough on the Justice Department, and it indicated that potentially more supervision was needed. People should have known in some cases, even if they didn't actually know. So it was, I think, independent, honest. It was a clear assessment of what had gone wrong in that situation. Doublespeak, doublespeak, doublespeak. And it continues, and we are happy to continue to provide the information that is relevant to this. But one of the things that happens in Washington is very quickly these issues become political distractions as opposed to us actually solving the problems that we need to solve. And this issue of guns, that's an issue for Obama, guns in your hands is an issue. This issue of guns flowing south is a hard issue to solve because you created the problem. Because this country respects the Second Amendment. He doesn't say he respects it. This country respects the Second Amendment, his adopted homeland. We want to protect the rights of gun owners and those who are seeking to purchase firearms, but oftentimes that's exploited as well. And so we've got to make sure we're properly balancing the rights of U.S. citizens, but making sure that we're also interdicting those arms that would get into the hands of criminals. And I suggest that in order to get to the bottom of this, to get to those who are taking firearms from legal channels and putting them into the hands of criminals in Mexico, specifically Los Zetas and the DEA, that not just some dog and pony show congressional hearing by ESA should be done, but that the president and Eric Holder should be impeached and should have already been impeached for violating the Constitution, for performing this psychological operation to brainwash the American people about guns. But what has given them political cover is that George W. Bush, who is also a gun banner, started this program to brainwash the American people about guns. And so both sides of the two-party system, both sides of the coin, are supportive of this operation to take your liberty. And so that just simply will not happen until we have a massive change in Congress, and that's not going to happen here in 2012. There's simply not enough good people even running for the office, let alone with a viable chance to win. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show. Again, it's Open Line Friday. The number to join us, 347-324-3704. We'll be right back with more opinions so good they ought to be yours as we begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio.
Keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America, how do you like that name? The USA, and y'all can keep the change. Friends want to put me down, ask for my opinion, then twist it all around. Supposed to be talking about my father's new CD. Well, two can play that gotcha game, just wait and see. Don't tread on me. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. America, don't you just love that name? I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change. Yeah, you can keep Fox and Friends and ESPN out of your home too. And all his rowdy friends and his song is out of there. Yes, sir.
And welcome back to the Jim Dunzing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. Here as we begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, it is Open Line Friday. The number to join us, 347-324-3704. Breaking foreign news. We've been spending most of this last week on foreign affairs here on this show. And today on Open Line Friday appears to be no exception. The death toll rises in Pakistan, reportedly over the video protests. 17 people apparently killed. Reports say, this is out of Al Jazeera, reports say more than 17 people have died as demonstrations against an anti-Islam film erupted across Pakistan a day after protesters tried to storm the U.S. embassy in Islamabad, the capital. Tens of thousands of Pakistanis took to the streets across the country after the government called an impromptu public holiday to let people protest under the banner of Love the Prophet Day. In Karachi, armed protesters, among a group of 15,000, fired on police, killing two officers, as at least 10 protesters died in the violence. The crowd also burned six cinemas, two banks, a KFC, and five police vehicles. Six cinemas, two banks, a KFC, and five police vehicles. More banks. Crowds, armed with clubs and bamboo poles, converged on the Furtas Picture House, smashing it up and setting furniture ablaze, according to Gohar Ali, a police officer. Witnesses said a separate rampaging crowd stormed the Shama Cinema, notorious locally for showing films considered to be pornographic. In the Pakistani city of Peshawar, police fired on rioters who were torching a cinema. Mohammed Amir, a driver for a Pakistani television station, was killed when police bullets hit his vehicle at the scene, says Kashif Mahmood, a reporter for ARY-TV. At least four protesters and one police officer were killed in the northwestern city, along with 40 injured and two cinemas and two shops torched. In the capital of Islamabad, some 19 protesters and eight police were injured. And in Lahore, at least five protesters were wounded. Then a subheading here of police on alert. They do not want this anti-Islam video to be supported by the United States, said Al Jazeera's Kamal Haider, reporting from Islamabad. Despite the fact that the American president has said that they have got nothing to do with it, the people here are saying they will not go home unless they get to the U.S. embassy. Now, even if these folks are upset by this video, and by now they may have seen the video, and they should probably be upset by the video, given its poor production quality and foolishness of the video, that's not what's making them riot. That's not where all this bottled up anger is coming from. They're not watching a movie and then all deciding to go out in the streets and burn their own homeland down because they saw this movie. They're upset with the conditions under which they live. This is, if it's in any way responsible, and I think it's very tangential, and they're working at this point to put this movie in front of these angry people to try to claim this is the reason for the violence. But in reality, the reason for the violence, the pent-up anger, has been caused by America's interference with their nation. What do I mean? Well, Pakistan, I know some of you Fox News viewers know that Pakistan is where Osama bin Forgotten was supposedly hiding during the Navy SEAL raid that has some conflicting stories about it. The one that Barry and Hillary and Biden were watching, supposedly from the war room with the blank monitors and the staged photo op stares and looks. What you may not know, Fox News doesn't cover this a whole lot, but in the real world of politics, Pakistan has been a puppet state of America for a long, long time. The American Central Intelligence Agency funnels weapons, funnels supplies, funnels money through the Pakistani intelligence service called the ISI. The ISI uses that money. The head of the ISI is the most powerful person in the Pakistani establishment because he has direct ties to the American weapons of war and to American financing. As long as he stays loyal to his puppet masters in the CIA, he can maintain his position and dominate his entire country and use all of the resources given to him by America to do the secret government's bidding in the Middle East. Namely, Pakistan can finance the takeover of Afghanistan. That's why all those Pakistani forces are in Afghanistan. They were given money by America to come in and basically fight Afghanistan. So you have two fronts. You have the American occupation. Then you have the Pakistanis coming in to try to take over the country. Then you have the locals trying to maintain some semblance of self-government. Now, of particular note of the ISI regarding their known sponsorship of terrorism, the head of the Pakistani ISI took some of this American government money, $100,000 of it to be precise, and funneled it back to somebody named Mohammed Atta, who is one of the 19 hijackers who flew two aluminum planes and knocked down three buildings, three steel skyscrapers. $100,000 was wired from Mahmoud Ahmed, the head of the Pakistani secret government, the ISI, to Mohammed Atta. On the morning of September 11th, on the very day, while the planes were flying around in the air, the head of the Pakistani secret government was having a meeting with members of the American secret government, specifically the head of the Pakistani ISI, who financed the 19 hijackers, was having breakfast with Porter Goss, eventual head of the Central Intelligence Agency, then merely the ranking Republican on the Oversight Committee, the Intelligence Services Committee, and Bob Graham, the Democratic ranking member on the Intelligence Services Committee. All of them sitting there having breakfast while the attack, financed by Pakistan via America's intelligence services, was underway. America has had control of Pakistan. You've seen in Egypt signs to Hillary. When Hillary went there and got the appropriate welcome she deserved, there were many signs held up that said, "We are not another Pakistan." This is what they meant. They will not be a puppet state of America. Their entire government has been controlled by the Central Intelligence Agency for years. You wouldn't like it either. That's the genesis of the anger. That's the genesis of the resentment towards America that is there. It is not because they saw a movie. They didn't see a 6-minute preview of a bad movie and all randomly go out, 15,000 people randomly go out to burn 6 movie theaters, 2 banks, a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and 5 police vehicles. That just didn't happen. They're upset with American hegemonic domination in their nation and their region, and it looks like across the region, they're getting tired of being targets. They're getting tired of having their homeland blown to bits by depleted uranium weapons from people with joysticks and lounge chairs halfway around the world. You wouldn't like it either. We're witnessing in the same thing in Malaysia. Additional protests in Malaysia. Again, what Channel News Asia is reporting, and look at their headline, Malaysian protesters burn U.S. flag over anti-Islam film, and they show a photo here of the Malaysian demonstrators marching towards the U.S. embassy in Kuala Lumpur to with signs and lots of people. And, of course, they're saying that all of this is over the film. About 3,000 Muslims marched on the U.S. embassy in Malaysia on Friday, burning an American flag over a U.S.-made film that has sparked anger in the Islamic world. Although there was no violence, angry demonstrators declared their willingness to sacrifice their lives to defend the honor of Prophet Muhammad and warned, quote, there will be consequences over the film. Quote, we will not allow the Prophet to be insulted. We are willing to sacrifice our lives and property, says Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man, an official with the opposition Pan-Malaysian Islamic Party, which spearheaded the march. Demonstrators handed a memo to an American embassy official demanding a U.S. apology, maximum sentences for the movie makers, and an investigation into whether there was a, quote, planned agenda to provoke hatred and anger towards Muslims, close quote. However, the officials of this Pan-Malaysian Islamic Party said they were not behind the flag burning and condemned it. The protests forced the closure of a busy main road in the heavily congested capital of Kuala Lumpur for nearly 2 hours. The low budget, that's being kind, the low budget Innocence of Muslims, produced by a U.S. Christian activist, is what they call him here, a U.S. Christian activist with Israeli financing and a fake name and real estate development contracts, mocks Muslims and Prophet Muhammad. Although I still haven't seen the whole film. Rumor is the whole film doesn't exist, merely this 6 or 7 minutes of clips. Western and particularly U.S. diplomatic missions have been under siege around the world since a trailer for the movie gained attention this month on YouTube. I don't think that's what it is. I think what's happening is the people in these countries are getting bolder. They've been upset with the status quo and the way things have been going, the way their countries have been dominated by America for some time. And they're getting emboldened by Cairo, by Benghazi, by the strength in numbers they have, and by their religious doctrines. And a belief that America has no respect for the Muslim people, for the Muslim faith, or for their homeland. And who can blame them for having such a belief when they see depleted uranium weapons destroy one Muslim country after another, and America concoct pretextual reasons to preemptively invade, occupy, and dominate one Muslim country after another. This kind of anger is not going to go away. It is impossible at this point, impossible for the American government, no matter how big its military, and it's dwindling, and its morale is at its lowest point in our nation's history, it is impossible for the American military to exert hegemonic control over all of these different nations. It is just not possible anymore. We are witnessing the beginning of a massive conflagration. This may be the beginning of World War III. But it will not be the beginning of American hegemonic control over the area. That era, that pipe dream, is over. America doesn't have the resource. The military-industrial complex doesn't have the ability anymore. The money they've been using for generations, the way they've done foreign policy is they've gone in and they've bought off people like Mahmoud Ahmed. They've given him lots and lots of money. He's told how to use a good portion of that money. The rest of it he gets to spread around himself to control his own people. There's no more money. They can print all they want, but it doesn't have any value anymore. They can't use that strategy anymore. All that's left for them is to blow everyone else up. All they can do now is release weapons of mass destruction on all these various nations if they intend to exert hegemonic control over the entire region. But even that won't end the issue. Those who survive will have nothing left to lose. We've pushed and pushed and pushed as a nation these people to the point where they no longer like America. They now think the American government acts at the behest of the American people. They don't like us because of what our government has done. Well, before we close the show today, and by the way, the number to call in is 347-324-3704, as in every open line Friday. Before we close the show today, I want to give a non-update, I guess, on the Jeffrey Winehouse situation. I have no real new information to report. I have not heard anything additional in way of decline, nor anything positive in the way of an improvement in his condition. The last I heard was that he cannot see, he cannot respond to verbal commands. He has, within the last week, opened his eyes. If you are unfamiliar with this story, well, you should be listening to the show more often. What happened, we've covered it every day this week. What happened was that Jeffrey Winehouse had a meeting with some police officers in Rolla, Missouri, to discuss corruption there, local corruption in the departments in Missouri. He showed up to the meeting armed, as is his right, and all the details we have, obviously Mr. Winehouse hasn't added details to this. All the details we have are from the police officers, and in typical police fashion, they've given as little information to the public and the civilians as necessary. And all they've said is that Mr. Winehouse showed up to this meeting armed, a confrontation ensued, and shots were fired. The officers discharge their weapons. No allegation that I'm aware of that Jeffrey Winehouse fired his weapon. He was shot twice in the chest and once in the head. It is still in critical condition. Join us next Monday here on the Jim Dunzing Show for opinions so good they ought to be yours, as we begin the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. We will continue to update this story the breaking news around the world, all of it right here. Join us then.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill, living in that lap of luxury, all we the people's bill. Don't have a clue how the other half lives, and that is a shame. It's time to stop the tyranny.
Joining us here at Freedomizer Radio today. Up next is See the Power in You. I'm your host, Cheryl, and we'll be talking about genetically modified foods. What are they? And we're going to talk about the legislation that is up for mandatory labeling of GMOs. So we'll be right back with you. We're going to take a short commercial break, and then we'll be up.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington, You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, Williams First Production are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
And this is one of our newest programs here at Freedomizer Radio, Guerrilla Radio with Tammy and Austin.
Austin here from Guerrilla Radio, asking you guys to tune in Monday and Wednesday night after the Proof Negative Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, the only network on the web that freedomizes your freedom. And please, people, do not believe the hype. We are not both cynics on Guerrilla Radio.
Wait, you're the cynical one, not me. I'm the realist here. Come on, Cam. You know everybody loves you, even though you're the biggest cynic out there.
Hey, now, Austin, I was talking about you.
Wait, no, we're talking about you. You're the cynical one.
I'm not
realist.
The cynical one. You're the cynical one. Come on. Everybody knows you're cynical.
Crazy. Guerrilla Radio, 9 o'clock, Monday and Wednesday, 9 p.m. Pacific time here at Freedomizer Radio. I have a couple other announcements that I'd like to make before we get into our program today, Friday, at 1:30 Pacific Standard Time, Watchers Prophecy Network. They'll be discussing Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and prophetic events in the near future. At 12 o'clock, we have our brand new show, Wake Up and Live, with Christine Siegel, Rise to the New You Through Awareness of the World Around You. So I hope you'll tune in to that show. And I appreciate you being here today. I became aware of genetically modified foods. It was some time ago, and you'll find a great deal of information on genetically modified foods on my website, feedthepower.org, and under Rabbit Hole Expeditions, you'll find genetically modified foods. So, what is a GMO exactly? A genetically modified organism, or genetically engineered organism, GEO, is an organism whose genetic material has been altered using genetic engineering techniques. These techniques, generally known as recombinant DNA technology, use DNA molecules from different sources, which are combined into one molecule, to create a new set of genes. This DNA is then transferred into an organism, giving it modified or novel genes. Transgenic organisms, this is a subset of GMOs, are organisms which have inserted DNA that originated in a different species. So there are different levels and different types of genetically modified organisms. So to try and put this a little bit more simply, genetic engineering is a radical technology that forces genetic material across protective species barriers in an unnatural way. By being able to take genetic material from one organism and insert it into the permanent genetic code of another, biotechnologists have engineered numerous novel creations. Now, the part about this being permanent is frightening because they never tested this in the environment. Let me repeat that. They've never tested this in the environment. When you insert genetically modified organisms, and we're talking about, for instance, corn. Somewhere around 85% of all the corn produced in the United States is genetically modified. It has been genetically modified with pesticides and herbicides. And what does that mean? Well, pesticide material, genetic material, is inserted into the plant seeds. The idea behind this was to protect the plant from pests, garden pests, pests that eat the plants that the gardeners, the farmers, don't want their plants eaten by. And also, it supposedly is to protect the plants, excuse me, the gardens, the farms, from weeds. The problem lies in the fact that these genetically modified organisms, this corn that's now been planted all over the United States, is in the environment. And there's no control. Where they have found that, and we'll get into a little bit more, but this is affecting bees and butterflies, beetles. All of our pollinators are being poisoned. Pollen is something that a farmer has no control over. If he plants genetically modified corn in his field, and there is an organic garden anywhere near it, the organic garden has no protection whatsoever because pollinators don't understand property lines and property boundaries, and this farmer and that farmer have different products. Our little bee friends and butterflies, beetles, and hummingbirds don't understand those boundaries, and they cross-pollinate into other parts of the environment. So my proposal is that, you know, we need to work towards banning, patenting of life, and institute a new ban on making seeds that are... that's a whole other subject. Sorry, I'm getting off track here just a little bit. We'll come back to that. GMO food is not considered a natural commodity for consumption by the UN's regulatory body, and scientists have purposefully introduced spermicidal modifications into the corn for the purpose of controlling world population. That's a whole other subject. Please find that more information on that in under the future of food at feedthepower.org. Some of the other problems that arise from genetically modified foods, I want to go into a few of those things. Let me find my other research here. The USDA and their friends at Monsanto and Dow Chemical are creating a problem for us, and they have been working behind the scenes to rubber stamp new genetically engineered crops that are potentially dangerous to human health and the environment with little or no serious scientific review to vouch for their long-term safety. Earlier this summer, USDA posted 12 new genetically engineered crops for public comment in what can only be described as perverse irony. Public comments were due on September 11th. When people have their minds on other things. Even more alarming is the fact that 9 out of the 12 new genetically modified crops are under a new fast-track process. That means that the USDA scientists will have less time to properly review the shoddy corporate science that these corporations are allowed to submit in support of their new untested products for approval. We're going to get into this a little bit deeper, and I wanted to give you just a little bit of an overview. And I would like to, at this time, introduce you to my co-host, Miss Cookie. Miss Cookie, I would love for you to come on and chat with us a little bit about genetically modified foods, if you would.
Yes, I'd be glad to. You know, there's a couple things that you have mentioned that I think that people need to know. One, other countries in the world will not accept our corn because it's GMOs, and they said that they absolutely refuse to purchase it. Now, do they know something that we don't know? And yet is our country poisoning us? And yet at the same time, like you said, once it gets in the body, is the belief system that it cannot come out, that it's there permanently affecting our DNA? Now, remember, your DNA is like your blueprint that tells your body exactly what to do and how to respond and how to self-heal. The next question I have is, the Creator has created us in a manner that everything coincides or works together as like a mathematical equation. And what I mean by that is anything that He has created and we consume is for the good of our bodies, because our bodies then are able to assimilate it and utilize the vitamins, minerals, amino acids in it to be able to help us to be strong. And in the alternative field, we all know how important pollination is and all these different things. And in alternative therapy, the alternative therapist will tell you is, if you see an apple in the store with wax on or cucumbers with wax on, it's there to preserve the apple or the cucumber, but in actuality, it would be best to get an apple from a farmer's field that maybe is organically grown. And if you notice that there's a worm in it or an imperfection on it, that is exactly the apple you want to eat, because if there's a bug or a worm eating it, that has to be a really good apple, because bugs and bees and worms and different things do not eat anything that they do not feel is good for them, because they actually have a sense to determine or tell what to eat or what not to eat. Just like a dog will smell food to see whether or not it's compatible with its body or if it's going to make them sick. They have like their own computer system, and you don't see animals in the wild eating something that will kill them, except if us as human beings put something like antifreeze out there that might have a different smell that confuse, let's say, a dog or a cat, that because it's made out of chemicals, and the chemicals might be similar to something else, and then an animal might get confused and eat it and die. So now here's the thing is, if we've got bees and animals and different things, and we don't want weeds. And remember, the purpose of weeds is to fertilize the ground and take out of the ground any of the poisons and toxins that are in the ground from us as human beings by putting chemicals on the field, so to speak. So in other words, in your yard, if you have dandelions, dandelions are loaded with magnesium, which is a cleanser, and it will purify the earth. And if your yard is perfect and your soil is perfect, you won't have any dandelions. But yet, you know, of course, us as human beings like to come along and put Roundup on, which is Agent Orange. And so now the thing is, now we're putting more chemicals in the ground. So next year you're going to even get more dandelions, because actually everything works together in this world. And by us modifying things through laboratories and making things that are unnatural, like this is about what today's program's about, and I'm just kind of putting it in a nutshell. This is very, very serious stuff.
It is. And there's two things that you've mentioned that I want to discuss further. For instance, the bees, the problems with the bees that we've been having in the United States with colony collapse disorder has been linked to genetically modified foods, because it's what it does is it creates a neurotoxin in the body of the bees. And I think that the problem that with colony collapse disorder came about when a specific chemical was added to fertilizers, and those fertilizers and herbicides, et cetera, absorb those chemicals into the plants themselves, and then the pollen is affected. So then it's affecting the bees. And I totally forgot what the other one was, but that one was the one that is the most pressing, because we can only live about for a very short time without our pollinators. It's an extremely important part of our environment that we need to protect.
And the neurotoxins, a lot of people don't know what that is. We've talked about this in the past week, you and I, Cheryl.
Yes.
Neuro means nervous system. And
yes.
You're putting toxins in that are affecting your nervous system, which also is your energy field. Remember, through your veins and through your body's energy system, that's where you get energy so that you keep a high vibration. And it also is your electrical system, and it's also your electromagnetic system. So as a human being, the magnetic, in other words, positive and negative system gets disrupted. In bees, it's disrupting their radar, their sonar, you know, all the animals. And the purpose of it is, if you can affect somebody's nervous system, then the brain and different things in the body do not connect, and it's not getting the energy it needs to be able to get the spark to certain organs so that they function properly. And a lot of neurotoxins that have gotten in the body, such as aspartame and fluoride and different chemicals, that's why people might have MS and different things going on, because of the fact that the nervous system isn't working and the adrenal glands go down, and then all of a sudden the hormonal system doesn't work, and the pituitary and the pineal gland isn't working. And it's really like a toxin that gets in there and poisons our brain and our nervous system and our electromagnetic field. And see, by doing that, then we all become zombies, and we all become sickly, and we all walk around, and we just don't have the energy to get up and fight, and we don't even have the energy to get up and work. You know, we just barely function, and that's the purpose of all this.
Oh, the other thing that you brought up was the ban that is going on in Europe and the UK about genetically modified foods. There are something like 47 countries in the world that refuse genetically modified foods. You said, what do they know that we don't know? Well, they've been reading the studies, and the people that are in charge are making sure that these products do not come in and contaminate their environment. And I'll give you just a little example of the contamination of the environment and how that can be so pervasive. They're finding in, and I'm just going to scroll through here and find that article really quick. You can find it on my website in the GMO page by scrolling down and finding the woman who's holding her pregnant belly. Toxic pesticides were implanted into genetically modified food crops have now lodged in the blood of pregnant women and their unborn babies. A landmark new study out of Canada exposes yet another lie propagated by the biotechnology industry, this time blowing a hole in the false claim that a certain genetically modified pesticide used in the cultivation of GMOs does not end up in the body upon consumption. Researchers from the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of Sherbrooke Hospital Center in Quebec, Canada, have proved that BT toxin, which is used in GMO corn and other crops, definitely makes its way into the bloodstream, contrary to what Big Bio claims. And this toxin is found in the bloodstreams of 93% of pregnant women that have been tested. They're saying, and they have been saying, that any potential issue is destroyed in our gut, and that it doesn't cross into the blood, and that is incorrect. What's very interesting is that they have found DDT in the blood of pregnant women. And if you know anything about DDT, you know that it was banned in the United States years and years and years ago. The problem is that in the United States, we consume vegetable products that are imported from other countries that do not regulate DDT. So this is a pervasive problem. We are creating an environmental mess. This is a hot topic for me. I spent a lot of time accumulating information and a lot of time reading. My brain function at this particular time, it's improving every single day. Doesn't allow me to yank that stuff up out of the depths of my brain, but it's all documented on my website, everything that I have found. And I'm not saying that I have the be-all, end-all for GMOs. I'm saying that I give you enough information and good reference websites that you can go there and feel comfortable that you've learned a lot of research, well-researched information. And if you want to, there's lots of places to go from there to learn more. It's an excellent place to send someone who's never learned anything about genetically modified foods and they don't know anything about it yet. This whole thing about the spreading in the environment, this is a particular article that I found very, very disturbing. Mexico's GM corn shocks scientists. Researchers are baffled as an ancient variety of maize tested positive for GMOs in an area where there are no genetically modified crops. One of the world's oldest varieties of maize has been contaminated by GMOs, and this is U.S. researchers who've had their work confirmed by the Mexican government. The findings in Sierra Norte de whatever here region will shows that it's impossible, basically, to control genetically modified foods. This is a very old brand, family-oriented farm that is far, far away from anything that is genetically modified. And now we have this ancient, I can't find the word, an ancient,
the corn?
Yeah, the crop, species. It's an ancient species. Oh, there we go, species. I found the word. The results are surprising because Mexico has banned the growing of GM maize since 1998, and the last known GM crops grown in the region were almost 60 miles away from where this contaminated maize was found. We can't control this once it's in the environment. And we have to read. The problem is we want to read our labels. And this is something that I have been doing myself personally for a long time, reading labels. and if I can't pronounce it and it looks like some kind of chemical, I don't buy it. The problem.
But now you said that GMOs are not on the label, correct?
No, they're not, and that's the problem. It does not say on the label anywhere that this product is genetically modified. Now, I have to go and find the codes, and I will find that before we end the program. There's little labels on your fruits and vegetables. If it starts with a 4, it is it's grown conventionally, and the 9 and the 8 are the ones that indicate whether it is organic or genetically modified. So I will find that out before the end of the program and make that announcement. At least you can be watching for that. The problem with packaged foods, the problem with packaged foods is that they're not labeled. And there's huge legislation going on in California that's proposed right now that the voters can vote on to say, yes, we want our food labeled, and it is being fought tooth and nail by some of these. And I'm going to go find this article too that I have. I prepared a little differently today, and it's not working for me as well as I would like. So I hope you'll bear with me.
I thought you're doing an excellent job, and the thing is, it's nice to know about this code. But the sad part about it is here our program is about being empowered, and it's not that we're finished here yet, but people that want to be healthy, I don't mind aging, but I want to be healthy, and I want to be perfect in mind, body, and soul. And here you're very particular about, and you make it a matter of prayer, and you're doing all these good things for yourself, and then you out that they're purposely feeding us GMOs and not even giving us a choice of whether we want to participate in this problem or not, and yet other countries can turn it down, but we are not allowed to, and that's the frustrating part.
Okay, yeah, okay, here it is. A 4-digit PLO code, an indication that the product is conventionally coded. 4 digits. 5 digits, starting with the number 9, indicates that the product is organically grown. 5 digits, starting with the number 8, indicates that the produce is genetically modified. Now, they're speaking, when they talk about even this particular labeling, they're talking about specifically modified, genetically modified. Here's the interesting thing, though, is that a lot of products are considered genetically modified if they have been injected with pesticides. And yet, we know darn well that there are products out there that are being injected with these products, Roundup Ready, as they're called, and they are not labeled accordingly. That label on there, it's not happening. We're not getting our products are not being labeled. And the article that I wanted to find for you, this is from Natural News, and please, if this subject interests you at all, please go to Natural News, and in their search button, just put in GMO or GMOs and labeling, and you will find a tremendous amount of information. And I have learned from my research of cross-referencing, et cetera, that Natural News puts out great information. And I'm going to read this just this little bit here. It's time to defeat evil in the food industry and stop the vicious betrayal of customers by so-called natural brands. They're all conspiring right now to funnel millions of dollars into a disinformation campaign to try and defeat ballot measure 37, the GMO labeling initiative in California. effective immediately, Natural News is issuing a global boycott on the following brands. And I have been following this for a little while, and so I have actually refused to purchase any products by these companies. Kashi is one of them, owned by Kellogg, which has contributed $612,000 to defeat proposal or Proposition 37. Kashi cereals contain GMOs. Silk Soy Milk, owned by the nation's largest dairy, Dean Foods, has contributed $250,000 in an effort to kill the bill. Larabar, which is owned by General Mills, has contributed $520,000 to defeat the proposition. RW Knudsen, which is owned by Smucker's, $387,000. Santa Cruz Organic, which is also owned by Smucker's, $387,000. Cascadian Farm, owned by General Mills, $520,000. Muir Glen, General Mills, also has contributed $520,000. I'm wondering if these two might be connected. Those numbers seem a little bit coincidental that they're so close there, or that they're the same numbers for those companies. Proposition 37 is a citizens initiative on the ballot on November 6th in California that would mandate clear labeling of genetically engineered ingredients on food packaging. It's become a battleground pitting consumer and farmer advocates against multi-billion-dollar agricultural business and corporations. Recent polling indicates that 70% of citizens support informational labeling, and a flood of new contributions to fight the measure has rolled in from biotechnology industry and food manufacturers, totaling over $23 million, and that's according to California Secretary of State. This dwarfs the approximately $3 million contributed by proponents of GE labeling. Consumers might be surprised to find that brands hiding under natural facades are in fact owned by multi-billion-dollar corporations that are contributing bushel baskets of cash to defeating this proposition. Ugh, and no one puts in more money than Monsanto. Monsanto has contributed millions, maybe billions of dollars to squash this whole idea of labeling in California, or in general. Here's a little interesting thing, Cookie, that I found from UK, from information from the UK. Monsanto actually ran several different promotional campaigns during the turn of the century in the UK that explained to customers how they would soon begin noticing the labeling changes on food packages. These campaigns were specifically designed to alert the public to be aware of the presence of GMO food, so they would be fully informed as to what they were buying. Monsanto, in other words, was apparently very proud of its biotechnological developments at that time and wanted everyone to know about it. And this campaign ran in 1998 and 1999 in the UK. It was supported by retailers to position their products with customers. But what happened? Why this turn of events? If we fast forward to 2012, Monsanto is doing everything it can to stop GMO labeling laws from being enacted in California and elsewhere in the U.S. Why Monsanto pushed so heavily in favor of GMO labeling in the U.K. a little more than a decade ago, but is now vehemently against GMO labeling in the U.S. It's not clear, but we have our suspicions. And the suspicions come from safety studies that have emerged since then, linking biotechnology to organ damage, reproductive problems, immune disorders, and cancer.
How very sad, huh?
It's very sad.
When I heard about 2 months ago, remember I told you my friend called and said that Kashi cereal had GMOs in it, and I was just shocked because here you go to the health department of your store, you pay a little bit more for this so-called natural grain cereals, and a lot of people that have become vegetarians or vegans are eating more seeds and natural grains and cereals and different things and being very particular on what they eat, and here they're putting GMOs right into our cereals, and we're finding out it's owned by Kellogg's or, like you said, General Mills, all these big companies. Yet what is their connection with the pharmaceutical companies and the government and everything else that's going on? It's just very, very sad stuff, because the deeper we dig, the worse it becomes, and the worse we see this conspiracy actually flourishing.
Well, and, you know, here's the thing, and, I always try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know, a company comes along, and they're working hard to make a dollar, and they find a way to make something, make one of their products less expensive for them to produce, and they try and find a way, et cetera. And I used this example the other day when I was talking about high fructose corn syrup. You know, they take and they do all these chemical processes to the corn syrup, and it creates what we were talking about earlier. It creates neurotoxins that accumulate in the body. Now, did they set out to create a neurotoxin? I have a hard time believing that. Did they create one? Absolutely. Are they continuing to use it? Absolutely. Do we have to protect ourselves? You bet. So it's about becoming aware of what's going on. There are we do have this whole a way to fight that. We use proclamations and other things that protect us from the ill effects of these products that we're eating. But I still think that, you know, until we can educate people on using those techniques, then we have to make people aware. And we have to do that anyway, because we need to change what these people are doing to our environment.
Well, we all have choices. And the thing is, if we're educated, then we make the right choices. And that's one of the reasons we talked about muscle testing. But even under the case, let's say you don't know how to muscle test, having education to make the right choice on your food that you select, it's always good to know if there's a poison in one food and not a poison in the other. Wouldn't you like to know which one to pick or which one to choose? And the thing is, there's enough going on that you and I are not aware of that we can't control, let alone the stuff that we can. And so education is the best, and learning to know about these things is very important. And we all know that big business, false religion, the governments that are trying to control the people and do different things, whether they see it, feel they're doing it for our good or not for our good. The point is, we need to be aware of these things, because there is always an underlying agenda, and most of us know what that agenda is. Whether the government purposely did this or not, the point is, it's the red team. And the red team, if your belief system isn't a creator, you know what the red team is trying to do to us, because we're at their mercy here in this dimension, and yet there's things we can do, and that's what your program's all about.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. We've kind of gone past our break time, so we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be back with more information on genetically modified foods and the labeling issue that we're facing. I hope that you will call in and join us 347-324-3704. We'd like to hear your comments and questions on this particular issue. So stay tuned, and we'll be back.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Truth Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Matrix. I would like to invite you to listen to my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our international listeners, that's 1,800 hours to 2,200 hours Greenwich Mean Time right here on Freedomizer Radio. I always interview a broad spectrum of guests ranging from entrepreneurs to the eclectic. I also like to keep you up to date on the latest breaking news in geopolitics, world events, astronomy, technology, science, and how it relates to the 21st century and an emerging global order. Be sure to visit our website at freedomizerradio.com, take part in our lively chat room, visit our sponsors, or read breaking news articles on our Twitter feed. You can also find out more about the wide variety of shows and hosts at freedomizerradio.com. If you'd like to comment or speak with a guest during the show, just give us a call at 347-324-3704.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Okay, well, we're back. Thank you very much for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio today. Our topic is genetically modified foods and how they affect us, how they affect our bodies, and how they affect our environment, and how they are affecting our ability to choose in the marketplace. You know, one of the things that you mentioned, Cookie, is, you know, we have the ability to change the frequency of our food through proclamations. And I am a big advocate of that direction. The problem, the only problem that I see with that is that I don't know that the general population is as accepting of the effects of prayer and proclamations. And so we need to work to protect our environment. What's happening to our environment due to genetically modified foods is horrendous. Even our agriculture has changed over the years, where we used to have 40 different types of potatoes to choose from. And those varieties are still out there in certain smaller circles. But we are limiting our what we find in the grocery store based on our agricultural processes. So if we're producing for general consumption only 1 to 3 varieties of potatoes, and we are continually contaminating that product, we are contaminating that product for everybody who doesn't understand that whole changing of frequencies and that full power of prayer. It's affecting our general population. It's affecting our general health. not only of the earth, but of human beings.
Well, let's talk about that. The thing that I see here is, let's say, for example, somebody takes Roundup and they pour it on the soil in their backyard, and 5 years later, which we know Roundup never disappears, goes into the earth, and maybe the person purchasing that property decides to build a garden, and now they build a garden and they plant seeds, and the seeds start to grow, and let's say it's carrots. And the thing is, it comes in through the soil. Now it goes into the roots, it goes into the plant, it goes into the stems, it goes into the leaves, it goes into the blossoms. Like you said, bees come by and pollinate it. We're contaminating everything, and here's the proof in Mexico, where the maize has been there for centuries and centuries and thousands of years, is getting a GMO modified, and yet it's against the law in that country to have GMOs, yet it's spreading all over the world, and yet our nation, which is one of the richest nations in the world, is getting sicker and sicker and has the worst medical care possible out there. Not because doctors aren't sincere or hospitals aren't good or because they want to, but because of drugs and the way certain things are being done. Yes, there's a lot of good the medical does, but you know, sometimes we're all pawns and we don't even realize that we are maybe doing something to spread this stuff all along. So let's say we have a country here, 50% believe in a creator, 50% don't.
Right.
Yet the power of prayer is the most strongest thought issue. Now let's not even go through the creator, let's go through science. Science has proven that if we think something in our mind, according to quantum physicists, and we put it out there, we create our reality, and yet at the same time, by thinking something in our minds, we can create with our minds and come into creating new things, such as, let's use an inventor 100 years ago. He thought it first, then woke up and maybe wrote it down, and then proceeded to manufacture it and put his science out there, and it developed into whatever he wanted to develop it into. And as he developed, made new products, the products evolved with other people, maybe other generations adding to it, and now this is where we are in our generation. We have technology, we have computers, we have all these things. Yet even way back in the 60s, nobody imagined having a portable phone where the phone will talk to you, you can talk to the phone, you can take pictures with it, you can see people on it like a little television set. Yet these inventors that maybe created a television or radio or a telephone, if they were resurrected at this period in time and they saw these inventions, they would just be in awe how their inventions evolved. So now here's the thing is, if our minds are powerful and we put this out there and we can create things and we also can use it for good or bad, and like you said, a lot of companies, it's about the mighty buck. It's about making a profit and it's about the money, not about whether it's safe or healthy for communities or human beings. It would be wonderful to have a company that didn't care about the money but just wanted a product that was good for the people and that it evolved in an area that where it just continued to grow and grow and grow and for the benefit of mankind, which is in actuality what we all would like, positive, positive, positive stuff. Now, if anybody out there has a belief system, because our belief system affects us 100%, and it has been proven by scientists that if a doctor tells someone you have cancer and the person believes it and the doctor says you have 30 days to live, they've done study over study over study where the individual went home and got prepared to die, and maybe the person didn't die in the 30 days, maybe died 2 months later or 3 months later, but really thinking that he had cancer, and then they opened him up and did an autopsy, and the person never had cancer because the belief system, our belief system, mind over matter, and our minds, whether we use it to create or we put it into a belief system, has a major, major effect on our physical bodies and our energy fields. Our 100 trillion cells, which are alive and also absorb memory, hears everything we say, everything we think, everything we feel, because the emotions of feelings is the highest vibrational energy. A person can be happy one minute, told something traumatic the next minute, and drop dead a few minutes later. And yet, if the scientists checked it out, this person might have been in perfect heart, and his heart was perfect, and everything was good. But because what he was told was so traumatic, it affected his emotions so adversely that he ended up having a heart attack and dying. We are emotional creatures. So now the point is, if somebody has a belief system out there based on fact and science that can save our lives and can change the outcome, why would you not want to jump on it, so to speak? Now, I, in my lifetime, have never heard scientifically, historically, from another individual, any other thing that works besides the belief system in a creator that has the ability to overthrow any negative out there because he's stronger than anything negative. Now, when you start practicing this, such as the power of prayer, I didn't just go and say, okay, I believe the creator can change my food from something negative into something positive. I actually read studies, whether it be from Bruce Lipton or Greg Braden or some of these different people out there, where they did testimony after testimony, such as a monk making a prayer over poison, swallowing it, passing it through the body, and never having a major effect. Yet as a human being, if we don't believe it, and we even drink a little bit of that poison, it may kill us, because our belief system is that it will kill us. And it does. And so now here's the thing is, our belief system is so all-powerful that that's very important. So let's look at some different religious beliefs where individuals play with snakes, and their belief system is that if a snake bites them, they can counteract the venom. And many of them have been able to do that. Yes, there have been a few that didn't make it. But, of course, once again, using common sense, I don't want to play with snakes and I don't want to drink poison. But if I should have happened to drink a poison, my first avenue would be prayer. And then if you look from scientifically points of view, by muscle testing, if you put a poison in someone's hand, their arm drops. If you put something that's good for their body in their hands, it makes them strong. If you use a pendulum and the pendulum swings to the left, and left means that it's negative for you and right means it's positive for you. And so let's say, according to the scriptures, it says we shouldn't eat pork. So now if I put a pendulum over this pork and it spins left, or I put it in your arm and your arm drops, and you decide that you want to eat this pork because in your belief system there's nothing wrong with pork, and you go ahead and eat it and you get a little indigestion, and the next day you have a little constipation problem and you're not feeling good, it didn't kill you. So the point is, you know, you might want to continue to eat it, and maybe your stomach is as hard as rocks and you can pretty much eat anything. And because your belief system didn't go there, you were able to digest it better than anyone else. But let's say, for example, you believe it's going to make you sick. Well, then it is going to make you sick. And if you believe it's going to make you healthy, it's going to make you healthy. But even if you believe it, in the long-term run, like I had mentioned to you the other day, that after eating certain things for a long period of time, it accumulates in the body, and the body knows the difference. So let's say, for example, you eat snakes and alligators and different things like some of the people from the swamp people, and I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying is the first thing that happens is our digestive and elimination system tells us what's going on in the body. And if your stomach is very, very good, you will have no problem with your teeth. You will have no problem with any negative outcomes in your body. If you have a problem with your digestive system, which represents you, it's showing that if your teeth start getting bad and you start losing teeth, especially at an early age, like in your 20s and 30s, you know what? Your diet is affecting your whole physical body. And if it's affecting your physical body, each tooth represents an organ and a meridian in your body. So now there's something going on in your body that you need to acknowledge. And so accumulating maybe stuff that the Creator told us not to eat will eventually have an effect on us. Now, the thing is, it's been proven that if we pray over it and ask the Creator to come in, now, according to the scriptures, whatever we pray for, whatever we ask, we receive, and He's willing to protect us. So do you think He doesn't know what's going on down here and what the red team's doing and what the government's doing and what fault religion's doing and what the money changers are doing and what's really happening down there? Of course He does. So by calling Him in and asking Him to change the molecular structure of the foods that we're eating, whether it have aspartame, GMOs, toxins, poisons, chemicals, viruses, bacteria, fungus, worms, parasites, whatever in it, if we request it according to our belief system, He will come in and change it. Now, can we prove? Yes, we can, because they have taken food that they knew was in good health, and they scientifically looked at it under a microscope. It was in perfect health. They took a picture with a Krillian camera. It had a beautiful aura. They put a pendulum over it, it right spinned. They put it in somebody's arm, their arm stayed strong. This was a perfect product. Now, the thing is, nobody prayed over it, nobody did anything. They stick it in a microwave, they bring it back out, and it's only in there for maybe 1 minute, 30 seconds, whatever. And now they take a picture of it with a Krillian camera, there's no energy field. They check it under the microscope. There's no nutritional value. They put it in your arm drops. They put a pendulum over it, it less spins. Oh, man, what did we just do? Now, the thing is, then what they did is they took that same product and prayed over the top of it and then once again put the Krillian camera over it, and here the energy field was back. It starts to right spin, and if you put it in your hand, it makes you strong. So there is proof right there of what's going on, and they might have put it under the microscope once again, seeing that the enzymes were activated and everything was perfect. So am I telling you how to pray? No, you pray whatever way you want to pray, but the thing is there any harm in believing that there's a Creator out there that cares about us, that wants the best for us, that has the ability to counteract all of this? Well, I'll tell you, if I'm voting for a politician, I would want to be voting for a politician that has always or never let me down, and yet the individual has put things in writing, and the person has been able to back it up with science and microscopes and chemistry and mathematically, and also as simple as being as simple as I am, just a way for me to test my foods or to check it out to see if it's factual or not factual. So they have done testing where they took like a petri dish and put cancer cells in it, and an individual prayed over that petri dish and then went back and examined the petri dish, and the cancer was all gone. How can that be? How can we do that with our minds? Because the individual called in the Creator.
Right, and that's part of our program here at See the Power in You. And we're here Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10 in the morning. and on Saturday at 4 Pacific time. And I encourage people to, you know, study these topics. Go to your search engine and put in, for instance, Monsanto lawsuits, and see what this company is doing to our local farmers. And, you know, the whole matter of prayer is just to set it aside for a moment, because those of us who are aware and who know what's going on have, I feel, this is my personal opinion, have a responsibility to those who know less than we do. And one of those things might be, you know, this thing with legislation. You mentioned, you know, legislators and voting for people. Well, here's something. We didn't vote for this. This was just a newsletter preview that I just got from David Icke. Now, I do not follow David Icke. I have seen some of his things and some of the things that he puts out there I'm very much in alignment with, but this is just a little something that he shared. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration said, "We know of no information showing that foods created with these methods differ in any meaningful or uniform way," and we now know that that is a lie. A lawsuit later brought to light 44,000 internal FDA documents which revealed that GMOs can produce things like allergies, toxic residues, new diseases, antibiotic-resistant diseases, nutritional problems, intestinal problems, cancer-causing agents. They have also confirmed that scientists and experts at the FDA had said that GMO was different from that produced normally, but there were different risks. The effect on health on GMO-soaked America has since been proven. So why did the FDA say publicly that there was no difference between non-GMO food and that produced with GMOs, especially by Monsanto, which has led the FDA not requiring independent safety checks on GMO products? One of the key people responsible for taking that line was Michael Taylor, the number two at the FDA, a former attorney to, guess who, Monsanto, and later, guess what, Monsanto vice president for public policy. This is now one of the czars that have been that are hanging around up there and then making policy where our food is, you know, our food policies are being made. Taylor was also at the U.S. Department of Agriculture between 1994 and 96. In his government roles, he was highly influential in the decision not to insist that GMO had to be labeled, which was denied, and it was denied public free choice to eat or not eat GMOs. He also wrote a paper saying that if producers of milk without growth hormones labored their milk as such, that they should be mandated to include a disclaimer from the FDA saying that there was no difference between milk with bovine growth hormone and milk without it. I know. He was appointed by Obama to be his food safety czar, in charge of all of the United States food safety policy at the FDA, and is now senior advisor to the commissioner of the FDA. Taylor's policy is Monsanto's policy, and there can be no greater confirmation that corporations control governments than Taylor's career with Monsanto and government agencies, which are supposed to protect us from Monsanto. So we have to be aware of what's going on, and part of that awareness is the protection of the general public. And letting them know what's going on in their world and in their environment and what they can do about it. I propose that people read labels. This whole thing came up the other day about high fructose corn syrup. Now they're changing the flavor, quote unquote flavor, and they're now allowed to put corn sugar in place of the word high fructose corn syrup. It's still the same thing. And this is a problem because the labels, people are there looking at labels and they look at corn sugar and think that that's okay.
And then on the TV, Cheryl, they have been advertising a commercial that says, you know what? What is this big thing about corn syrup and sugar? Scientists have now discovered that your body can't tell the difference between corn syrup or sugar. There is absolutely no difference. The body cannot tell the difference. Well, yeah, but you're not saying whether it's hurting us or not hurting us. The body also can tell the difference that corn syrup or sugar hurts us, and yet the body tries to repel it. And yet, you know, whether it's corn syrup or corn sugar, I don't want either one.
Yeah, I don't want either one. And here's the other thing. If a product on the shelf contains corn anything, whether it's corn syrup or corn sugar or high fructose corn syrup or corn meal, 85% of the corn produced in the United States is genetically modified, and it affects our digestive tract. It affects us on a level of allergy.
It causes us to get fat. Our country is obese. It's causing us to be fat.
It is. Here's another article.
That was the purpose of it to cows and different things is to get them fat, to get them to evolve quicker and faster. That's why a lot of the things that were put into milk, after a cow ate it, then little girls would develop breasts at 7, 8, 9 years old, and children would start having sex earlier in life.
Exactly.
It affects our hormones. It affects our whole bodies.
It does. Here's another article. You know, I posted a couple of these in the chat room. You guys know I'm not that great at being able to chat and post things in the chat room as I would like to be. And if you would like to have my notes on what I've prepared today, please just send me an email, cthepower@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to share my notes with you. This particular article, 37 reasons why California's Proposition 37 must pass. Vote yes on Proposition 37. In fewer than 2 months, Californians will have a unique opportunity to vote yes on Proposition 37. This ballot measure will ensure and require retail food items made with or containing genetically modified ingredients be labeled as such. In the face of concerted opposition to GMO labeling by Monsanto and the corporate food industry, which would rather keep the presence of GMO in your food a secret, it is important that voters are aware of why passing a law requiring mandatory GMO labeling is crucial to food freedom. Just the first one. The allegedly environmental superiority of GMO crops is questionable at best, and GMO production still requires the heavy use of pesticides and other toxic chemicals. A popular misconception, selective breeding and hybridization are not the same thing as genetically modified foods. GMOs contain foreign genes for which the harmful effects to humans are largely unknown because, what? They haven't been tested. One of the things that that I did find is that where is that? Oh gosh. Okay. Here we go. Oh, that one's not found. Okay. Having a problem with the link here. Oh, and then I can find it because it's a natural news product, a natural news article. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Like I said, go to naturalnews.com and just put in their search GMOs. Yep, here it is. Very easy to navigate website. They have wonderful, wonderful information. Okay, eating genetically modified corn and consuming trace levels of Monsanto's Roundup chemical fertilizer caused rats to develop horrifying tumors, widespread organ damage, and premature death. That's the conclusion of a shocking new study that looked at the long-term effects of consuming Monsanto's genetically modified corn. Corn is just kind of the one thing that seems to be it's so pervasive in the agricultural business of the United States. Beets are another one, and so anything that contains beets or beet sugar or beets for coloring, you have to question.
Well, sugar
is modified.
Centuries ago, Cheryl, it was all about sugar, and sugar had an effect whether it came from cane sugar, date sugar, beet sugar, corn sugar. That's how it actually got started, because when we get a taste for sugar, we like to have glyconutrients, but the thing is, there's a certain type of glyconutrients we get naturally from certain products, but people that invested in sugar were the ones that became multi-billionaires, and so now this is another form of a sugar, see?
Right. And we all know sugar in any form whatsoever consumed in large quantities is detrimental to our health, period. But, you know, if you're going to consume sugar, then consume sugar that is coming from natural sources, like cane sugar.
Palm sugar.
Yes, yes. Okay, so back to this study. This study has been deemed the most thorough research ever published into the health effects of GM food products and the herbicide Roundup on rats. News of the horrifying findings is spreading like wildfire across the internet, with even the mainstream media seemingly in shock over the photos of rats with multiple grotesque tumors. Tumors so large that the rats even have difficulty breathing in some cases. I posted that article here in the chat room. Scientists found that rats exposed to even the smallest amounts developed mammary tumors. Oh, wonder, breast cancer. Severe liver and kidney damage as early as 4 months in males and 7 months in females. I mean, this... The studies are out there. Animals on GMO diet suffered mammary tumors as well as severe liver and kidney damage. 50% of the males and 70% of the females died prematurely.
If you don't think this is bothering you, let's take it one step further. Let's say, for example, I'm into alternative therapy and I like to take garlic or for my blood pressure, or I like to take oregano or basil. We're talking about plants again that are going into the soil that could be pollinated by bees that might be contaminating even our herbology. So when the shipment is sent off to, let's say, a company, let's use Nature Sunshine products or different companies that maybe produce herbology, it comes into the plant, they wear these white suits with masks on, they check it over, and here's the shipment that just came in of oregano, is loaded with toxins and poisons, so they push it out the door. Next shipment comes in, they look at it, and, okay, this one seems to be okay, but then they start doing a little scientific research, and they find out that this has GMOs in it, and somehow it got cross-pollinated, and yet that would affect essential oils, where we talk
yes.
about the high frequencies that when you rub it on your body, it goes in your skin and goes past the brain barrier and gets in the bloodstream, and it might have a very, very high frequency. But here there's a toxin or poison in it that we're not aware of because maybe they aren't looking for a modified thing. They're figuring that this was an organic oregano, and yet, you know, they've got to start now looking for other things and other signs and other symptoms, but it can affect us also, even in herbology, in supplements that we take, and it can be affecting us in the essential oil world where those have been relatively good for us.
Well, it's all about becoming aware of what's going on. We have several programs here at Freedomizer Radio that focus on health and alternative health, particularly here on See the Power, and a new program that starts today at 12 o'clock Pacific time, so that's in like 45 minutes. And that's with Christine Siegel, and her goal is to help people to make better choices. And it not just don't eat that, but here's something to eat. In other words, here's the problem that I ran into myself, is that as I started to find out what was going on and reading labels, I just started cutting things out of my diet. Well, pretty soon you find that you're pretty limited in your selection. And her idea is to help people add things back in to create a balance in their diet. So I hope you'll tune in to that program. And also, Eileen, the Gutless Wonder, is on at 3 o'clock Pacific time here on Fridays. And she brings to us a great deal of information and wonderful, wonderful guests on health and fitness. So I hope you'll tune in there. We're going to go and take just a short commercial break, and then since I can find my tab. Like I said, I'm doing things a little differently this morning, and I'm losing my tab, so forgive me. Freedomizerradio.com, please join us there in the chat room for any links and things that you'd like to pick up, and we'll go to a commercial break here. 347-324-3704. Is our call-in number, and we'd love to have you call in and participate. Share your thoughts. What are your feelings on this? Express your outrage at, you know, what they're doing to our food supply and to our environment. So we'll be right back.
Hey, cruise on over to the Whiskey A Go-Go, Freedomizer's late-night comedy show on Wednesday nights from 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. Hosted by me, Val Volano, and my co-host, Crazy Mars. We are seeking talent in comedy and music. The music we are looking for is classic rock, acid rock, hard rock, rap, pop, and blues. In comedy, we want any and all comedy skits, whether you call in live or submit by MP3. Be as creative as you want. Please submit your work at our fan page on Facebook at The Whiskey A Go-Go. So come, lift your spirits, and get away from all the doom and gloom. Warning, it's raw, it's dangerous, and we will be at our best at making fun of you. No PC allowed. I'm stalking you. You never know who and when I will swoop on the air, unless you're there. So that's Wednesday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Whiskey A Go-Go! Whoa, put the brakes on. Did you catch all that? Too much coffee. Freedomizer is so addicting.
That's our
a show here at Freedomizer Radio. Yes, folks, we have wonderful educational material and educational political commentary and crazy fun. So I hope you'll join Val Villano on, that's on Wednesdays at 10:30 Pacific time.
When we open our minds to the incredible, unlimited universe, we become participants in the active flow and infinite energy of life. We begin to live a much larger experience. We become free. In the magical universe, there are no coincidences and there are no accidents. You are here. You found Freedomizer Radio. See, the Power in You is about sharing the light of who you are, exploring different points of view, different perspectives on topics for better health for your mind and your body. Join Miss Cookie and me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and grow the light of who you are right here at Freedomizer Radio.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again, as I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
We have lots of new programs here at Freedomizer Radio. I mentioned Wake Up and Live. That happens in about 40 minutes with Christine Siegel. Proof Negative on September 24th. We'll have guest David Vanderbeek. He's running for Congress in Nevada under the Constitutional Party. And I wanted to just highlight some of our newer shows here at Freedomizer Radio. It's Just a Ride with Tom Casella on Sunday. Starting this Sunday, he's running a new series with guest speaker, quote-unquote, Napoleon Hill, so I hope that you will join him for that. Truth Exposition added a show on Sunday at 7:30 Pacific Time, and she'll be bringing you Earth news, what's going on in the universe as far as new technology and things that we're learning about what we see in the sky and Earth changes as far as earthquakes, etc., like that. Illuminating Minds has moved to Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. She had a great show yesterday, so if you are looking for a little interesting conversation, pick up that article or that show in the archives. Gadsden Rising with Libby Gadsden, Monday through Thursday at 1:30 Pacific Time. Excellent, excellent programming and wonderful guests. Libby is a wonderful interviewer and brings out the best in her guests. So I hope you'll join them there. Sigh. Cookie, this is such an emotional subject for me because I honestly feel that those of us who are aware do have a responsibility for those who walk around and who don't have the wherewithal to pay attention to what's going on. It's sort of like we're the stewards of what's going on, activists.
Well, we need to be aware. And the thing is, we all want freedom to make choices. And if you got all the information and then you make a choice, then you can say honestly to yourself, this is my choice, and any repercussions from this choice, I'm willing to accept, but I want all the facts first. Nobody likes to buy a car and have the guy tell you all these things about a car, and then it's all lies, and after you purchase it and you get it home, you find out that he lied to you about this and this and this and this. But if you purchased it under the awareness of knowing that there was this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem, and you took it anyway because you felt you could take care of those problems and it wasn't a big deal for you, or that it wasn't going to have an effect on you, well, then by making that decision, you feel content with it because it was your decision. But nobody likes to be lied to or manipulated or schemed or done anything. If I baked a cake and it tastes delicious, and then when I was baking the cake, somebody put a toxin or poison in it, and they, as I fed my friends or relatives or family members this cake, and they all start getting sick and vomiting, and some of them even die from it, I would feel horrible because of the fact that I'm the one that made the cake. But then nobody told me that somebody came in and put an inlay in there that affected my whole family. And that is where the anger and the hurt and the pain comes in, because that person, whoever did it, had a totally different agenda than what I had. And it's manipulating my belief system or my personality or my calling card or my rights. And then I'm no longer a free person because of the fact that they're doing things to my physical body, my temple, that they have no right to do.
Right. Well, you know, there are people out there that know they should read labels and they don't. You know, we can't help them. You can't help someone who doesn't want to be helped. But those who have become aware and started reading labels, they should have the opportunity to choose whether they purchase that product or not based on the products that are inside. One thing that was a little disturbing to me was to find out that it's a Safeway brand, organic. I supported that product line because I was reading the labels. Now, I found out that they are not required to. They're not required for it to be 100% organic, and that's a whole other issue. Do you know anything about that, Cookie?
No, I really don't. But the thing is, anytime we're being deceived, that bothers me. Like when they say natural or 100% organic, and you find out it only has to be 50% organic, that makes you angry. Because how can you put that on there? And yet the FDA, which is supposed to be protecting the people, is not protecting the people. It's protecting big government. It's protecting LLCs. It's protecting the money makers. It's protecting the drug companies. And yet, you know, it's supposed to be representing people and sticking up for the people, because we're supposed to be in this country proud of the fact that we have freedom of choice, and it's another freedom that's being taken away from us and deceived us and lied to us, and we're entrusting that this company really cares about us, and yet it doesn't.
Huh. Yeah. Well,
it comes down to we have to be in our own power.
Exactly.
We have to be educated, we have to counteract it, we have to be aware of it, and we have to do something about it. And, you know, everybody that puts something into the pot is going to be doing something about it, because even if we can't make a worldwide change or a nation change, you can make a change in your own physical body and a change in your own household. And the thing is, by doing these studies and these experiments as the word gets out and people start learning, then they're going to start rallying. In other words, having rallies of getting more people educated, and then they're going to have to make a change. Of course, they'll make a change in doing something a little bit more deceptive and more deceiving each time and try to keep it hidden. But the more we stay on top of it, the more we can counteract it.
Right. Well, here's another twist, and this is another article that I put on my website on the GMO page. Does genetically modified, what does genetically modified salmon mean? Before now, genetic engineering has been used widely in agriculture to make products resistant to pests and herbicides, in the development of microbes to produce pharmaceuticals for human and animal use, and in food to produce microorganisms used in baking, brewing, and cheese making. While various organizations have been working to develop genetically modified animals, such as the EnviroPig, which more easily digests plant phosphorus, thus excreting less of it into the environment. That's just one little thing. Now they've turned to salmon. The fish's rapid growth will be boosted by the injection of a combination of a growth gene from the Pacific Chinook salmon and genetic material from the ocean pout, which is a large eel-like fish, into the fertilized eggs of the Atlantic salmon, making the recombined DNA present in cells throughout the body of the fish. This new fish will grow quite a bit larger, and if you see the pictures that are represented here, it's pretty amazing. They're getting bigger fish. Now, the part that frightens me about this is that once these are released into the wild, or if they are ever released into the wild, we will be contaminating the entire salmon population in that particular species, because once they start breeding, they're going to transfer that DNA, those genes, onto the next generation. You know, when you, the problem is that once you start digging around and you start finding these things, you're going to find more and more and more. And what we want people to understand is that finding all of this information out, it makes you stronger. Personally, I watch what I eat. I do eat some products, some packaged foods, but for the most part, I don't eat packaged foods, and I stay away from anything that, like I said, that comes in a package. But we can't, and the best thing that I can do for my own personal self is to eat the best food that I can, the best food that I can find, the best food that I can afford, and then pray over it and do the proclamations. And that, to me, is being a responsible human to myself. I have to take care of this body that I've been given. It's the only one I've got, the only one I'm going to ever have, in this lifetime anyway. And I want to be as healthy as I can. And one of the things that I've noticed, and this is just something that came up recently, is I went to go get new eyeglasses. And despite the fact that I'm getting older, my eyes actually improved from 2 years ago. And most of the food changes that I've made have been in the last 2 years. Now, is that the thing that's contributing to my better eyesight? I can't tell you that for sure, but I feel good about the way that I'm feeding my body. And if that's an added bonus to taking better care of myself, then I can't wait to see
what kind of improvements I can make in the next 5 years.
Well, as all I know is from experience, and this is only my experience, which I can only speak about, is that over, the last 40 years, and I've been into alternative therapy since 1980, that my belief system is that if I pray over my food and there's something wrong with the food, I will upchuck it right away and I won't have any negative effects. Now, I've been around people that ate the same food and maybe they didn't pray over their food, and maybe within 2 hours, 3 hours of eating the food, they got food poisoning. And then they finally did throw it up and got sick, but they were sick for 2-3 days. Or I've had individuals where I've muscle tested my food, and I would have checked something, maybe a salad, and I found out that it was bad, and it was at a restaurant, and I refused to eat it because maybe it was a smorgasbord type of a situation, and I've had this happen many times. And then gone to the dinner table, and everybody at the dinner table says, well, as much as you like vegetables and salads and stuff, why didn't you have any of the salad? And I will say, well, I muscle tested, and it came out bad. I don't know why, but I'm not going to take the chance in eating it. And at the table where there was 8 people, maybe 5 of them pushed their plates to the center of the table and says, I'm not eating it either then, you know. And then maybe 3 of them at that table said, I don't really care and I don't believe it and I'm going to eat mine and enjoy it. Go ahead. And then they got sick for 2-3 days. And it wasn't a matter of me being right. It's a matter of choice and intent. And the point is, you know, I'm not going to take a chance with my physical body, even if my physical body can repair. I don't want to go through illness and sick and throwing up and vomiting and having diarrhea when it's not necessary to put my body through that. So all I'm saying to individuals is that your belief system has a major effect on our physical body. Whether it's true or not true, if you believe something, you can create it in your own mind to the point where your body responds to it. Yet at the same time, if you had a so-called pill that made you always healthy and happy and positive, would you take it? And yet here at our convenience, where we don't have to pay for anything, where we don't have to sign a document, where we don't have to do anything but believe in a creator that has the ability to love and care for us and want what's best for us, if my belief system is that, and it doesn't matter if the belief system is male or female or what they look like or where they're at or how you pray, the point is I believe that this creator has enough belief in you and I that if we call on him, we can counteract anything. And it's been proven that it can be done because by our faith is what happens to us. So now the thing is, if we 100% believe in something and we put it out there and the outcome is nothing but positive, what is the harm? Where does the harm come in? So the point is, and even scientifically, it's been proven that our belief system, our thoughts, our power is in what we believe because our body responds to that belief system. So it's always like having a security system. And if you only want to believe in that security system, go for it. But if you don't, I believe that this creator really cares about me and really wants what's best for me. And by making things a matter of prayer, like you said, Cheryl, in your advertisement, there's no coincidences because how come against all odds, when you pray, something can miraculously turn into a miracle, and I believe in miracles, not magic. Right. I believe that miracles can happen. And when I see miracles happen, no matter how small they are, it just reinforces my belief system in believing in something that is not costing me anything. This creator is not asking for blood. He's not asking for money. He's not asking you to worship him. He's asking you to believe in him. And yet, what's it costing you?
Yes. Well, here's another, you know, sorry, my mind kind of splits in and splits out sometimes on these subjects because the rabbit hole goes very deep. I would prefer to do the best that I can for my body and to pray over my food. We did a program, oh, here it is, sorry. We did a program, and I think it was a week ago Friday, on water. When they take and take from the same beaker and distribute water to 10 students, and then each of those 10 students look under the microscope at that water, that water is different for each student. The only difference is that student's attention, intention, that student's emotional, intellectual effect on the water. If those kinds of things are possible to show in experiments, then what kind of power do we have over our own environment, our own food that we put into our mouths? If we can change the structure of a water molecule just by looking at it. One student is having turmoil in their life, and their water looks different than the student who has a wonderful, loving, conscious demeanor. And I'm just using that as an example. We don't know what the differences between those 10 students are emotionally, what their trains of thought are. You study just a little tiny bit about quantum physics, and you know that the experimenter has an effect on the experiment. We have.
And you know, Cheryl, you brought up a point maybe a month ago about the feelings buried alive about, I think her name was Carol Truman, if I remember right. Anyways, she had a meter, and remember the meter went 500 plus and 500 minus, and in the middle was a zero point. In other words, it was balanced. And when a person prayed with intent in their heart, and she was getting ready to pass away, and she kind of like said a prayer to the Creator prior to dying, and it went to 500 plus, and the needle was actually hitting the 500 plus, wanting to go higher. And then there was a man that was also dying, and he was full of anger and hate and hurt, and he went 500 negative, and it was hitting the side again, showing you the megahertz of this emotions that we can have that can be transmitted more powerful than a broadcasting station on a radio that was only like 8 megahertz or 10 megahertz or something like that. Well, I have done experiments where if you take your food and put it in a superconductor, which is like a brass ring that's been twisted around in a circle, because circles have to do with whatever is inside that circle is where the superconductor is, it can magnify something that maybe was originally at an 8 megahertz up to maybe a 10 plus. Now, you can also put it on a brass plate with so-called a biodisc, which is another form of a superconductor, and get it up to 10 plus. But do you know that in this dimension, nothing can go higher than 1,000 megahertz? And yet at the same time, if you say a prayer with intent over your food to remove anything that's toxic or poisonous out of it and ask the food to be blessed and yet at the same time to make it assimilate in your body so that your body's able to get the vitamin, minerals, amino acids out and get rid of anything that isn't supposed to be there, it will jump up to 1,000 megahertz, and you can get a meter, a millimeter, that will measure the different megahertz. So now, if scientists can do this, and you can change the frequency or the vibration of something and change it up to 1,000 megahertz, and then you know it's very, very good for you, why would you not want to do that? So anything that goes in my mouth, whether it be water or food or anything, I would rather know that it's up to 1,000 megahertz, or like you said, if you put it under a microscope and it turns into a beautiful crystal, compared to a swamp-like condition where it's all deformed and it looks like a poison or toxic just from a feeling or emotion by the individual that processed it. And why are people then realizing now that it's so important when they butcher animals to have the animals be butchered in the best humane atmosphere because it has an effect on the meat? Yet also the thing is, when an animal is scared and in fear and is not allowed to live as an animal does out in the sunshine or the pastures, and it's put in a fence where there's nothing but manure and mud, and then it is killed, that meat is not, because the life is in the blood, the meat is tough and it's deformed and it may have toxins and poisons in it, and that may not even be good for us. So we're eating things, just like going from the microwave again, something that, why eat if the food's not good for you? Why eat something that you think's good for you has no nutrition? And then if a person gets sick because they're always cooking in a microwave but never counteracting it, and then they get sick and they die at an early age, you know, we can blame it on everybody else but ourselves for not having knowledge and wisdom. So what are we going to do about it? If you have a thought out there that you think that there's a quicker, faster, easier way of saving the world, yourself, mankind, helping your families, or contradicting this agenda that's being put out there by the red team, I'd like to hear it. And I'm open to it because I'm a very open person.
I would too. Well, you know what? We're coming down to the last 10 minutes of the program. I'm going to read something that kind of sums up what else is wrong with genetic modification. If you wouldn't mind, pull together a proclamation for us for the end of the show.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, I'll look for one real quick.
Okay. Here's just a list. Genetically modified plants contaminate conventionally grown and organic plants, and crops which have been genetically modified to resist herbicides encourage the use of larger quantities of herbicides, with the effect that both weeds and beneficial plants are killed indiscriminately. These herbicides are harmful to both the environment and to humans. Crops which have been genetically modified to contain their own insecticides, such as BT, cause insects to become resistant to the insecticide. Genetically modified plants may crossbreed with wild species to create superweeds, which cannot be eliminated by standard herbicidal use. The use of genetically modified seeds encourages dependence by the farmers on a single seed supplier that may involve the purchase of both seeds and herbicides from one supplier. Seed companies impose licensing agreements for the seed, which forbid the farmer from replanting seed from 1 year to the next. We didn't even touch on the fact that Monsanto is creating seeds which do not produce plants that produce their own seed. They're called terminator plants. Toxic combinations such as
glyphosate, which is Roundup, and Bromanoxil, okay, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that correctly, are used on genetically modified crops. The U.S. Environment Protection Agency has approved the use of bromo, whatever that is, despite acknowledging serious concerns about developmental risks to infants and children. The nature of genetic modification and the long-term effects are not well understood, as well as these products have not been properly tested before being released into our environment. For example, in the United States, the Department of Agriculture approved the use of all currently approved genetically modified crops based on data supplied by the manufacturers. These are not independent studies. Genetic material inserted into plants can transfer to animals and humans in the intestinal wall. Crops which have been genetically modified to resist insects kill not just the target insects, such as an abhorrer or a weevil, but also beneficial insects, such as a monarch butterfly. They also threaten the habitats of other animals, such as birds and bees. Crops which have been genetically modified to produce pharmaceuticals can contaminate the food supply. It's a big subject. There's a lot.
Yes, it
learn.
Is, and I think we should continue it on Saturday, if you don't mind. This is no accident, as we all know, and it's being done with intent. So your fear, your guilt, and your anger becomes food for another individual, and your disempowerment becomes empowerment for another individual. So how do we stop being part of this food chain? By remembering where the gas pump is, by removing the blockages which separate us from creation. So if you want to hug a tree or get grounded, become empowered, and reconnect to creation, love yourself into existence. So here is a proclamation about the food chain so we can change and counteract anything that is being put out there that's negative into a positive. And if you'd like to be a part of it, just say so be it or clap your hands at the end and take a deep breath. And if you do not want to be a part of it, put your tongue to the roof of your mouth or just say no in your mind. I call forth all individuals to stand before me. As I stand before you in love, I offer you this proclamation to accept or reject according to your free will choice. I am one with creation on all levels of consciousness. I call forth all beings feeding off my energies. I ask you to forgive and honor me as I forgive and honor you. I embrace all bonds between us in unconditional love. I call forth all energies feeding off my energies and transmute them into the divine expression of creative love and return them to the creator source. I proclaim sovereignty. I align my mind, body, and soul in divine perfection. I embrace the divine love flowing within all tissues and aspects of my being and acknowledge it as my source of love, my source of healing, my source of protection, my source of power and wisdom. So be it. Take a deep breath and clap your hands. And what I mean by feeding off, we had a talk a couple weeks ago about viruses, how they come from the inside of our body out. When our conditions get right, they activate. Well, likewise in mankind, there are viruses out there that protect the earth and the trees and the plants. But when there's a genetically modified stuff that are mechanically engineered viruses, like put in ticks or different things like that, and then it gets into our blood systems, and then it activates and it destroys our body by feeding off of our insides, it will take us down in a matter of no time, whether it be a virus, a bacteria, or a fungus. that our body is not supposed to have on the inside. So by saying this proclamation on food change, anything that was put into our physical body with or without our permission is supposed to be completely squashed, removed, evaporated, destroyed, because the Creator has the ability to do that for you and I, and then it will not have an effect on us. And that's what that proclamation was about.
Excellent. And our program tomorrow, we had talked about doing a program on intent and proclamation. So if you don't know what proclamations are and the power of intent, I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And we'll definitely bring up the subject of genetically modified foods during that program so that we can add that little
food chain.
Thanks. We can add that aspect into the power of intent and proclamation. If you're unfamiliar with See the Power in You, we try to end every program with a proclamation so that you come away with a way to clean your energy. And we hope that you will tune in, like I said, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 in the morning and on Saturdays 4 p.m. Pacific time. So thank you, Cookie. Your input today was just absolutely invaluable. I appreciate you so much.
And I appreciate all the information that you got off the computer, the research you did, and how you put it out there, and how you're bringing these things to all of our attention, and how we are able now to make a choice by getting this information or doing more research on it.
Well, and I hope people will share this program with friends and family so that they can also become aware, because the more aware that we are, the more things will change. Spend your dollars wisely. Choose how you vote with your dollars, because companies like Monsanto and big companies like Kellogg's and other companies, give that little list that I gave, Kellogg's and General Mills and Smucker's, these companies cannot survive without your dollars, so spend them wisely. We love you here at the radio, and God bless everyone. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Cookie. Bye-bye. Up next, Awake and Aware with Christine Siegel, and her first show today, accompanied by Yes Proof Negative, our boss man. So I hope you'll tune in. God bless.